The third reading of Parshas Bechukesai continues this glorious trajectory of blessings, of wonderful things that are happening. Verse 26, chapter 26, verse 10, Ve'achaltem yoshon neishon. You're going to eat old food. What's so great about that? Ve'yoshon mepnei chodesh titzio. You have to take the old food out because of the new food that's coming in. So Rashi says, yoshon neishon, it doesn't say rotten food. It says food that's already been, so to speak, preserved. Ha-peidei siyu mishtamrin. The crops will last. V'tevim, and they will be good, l'hisyashen, to continue to, so to speak, age. And they will not go bad. She'ehei yoshon ha-neishon shal sholosh shonim yofelechel. It may be up to 3 years old. They'll still be perfectly fresh. So the crops are going to be preserved. Not only do you have abundant crops, but the crops that you have, they last. And therefore, you can eat them. There's no issue. And the yosham v'chodesh tetziu, sheyiyu hagronais, that the granaries or areas where the grain is typically stored will be meleis chodesh, filled with new. V'ha'itzareis meleis yosham. So the threshing grounds will be filled with new grain, with new produce. The storage areas, the silos, will be filled with old produce. And you'll have to empty them. You'll have to empty the silos. Find another place to store them. To stock the new product in the silos. This is a description of a wonderful, idyllic reality. Everything is just great.
Rich people problems.
Rich people problems. Very good. Yeah, you're not wrong about that. The idea of Yoshan Neishan, says the Ibn Ezra, is that even though there'll be tremendous population, because what kind of blessing would it be if we have lots of crops but no people? There'll be enormous population, lots of children, and we'll still have extra food, abundant grain. And as the Targum Yerdinson says, despite its age, it shall not rot. So this stays well. Rashbam says, because of this, we're able to export because we have so much extra product. A normal country takes care of itself first. First you feed your own citizens, and then you worry about export and business. But here, there'll be such an abundance that the Jewish people, the farmers, will not only be supplying the local market, but they'll be exporting as well. They'll have to get rid of it somehow. They'll have enormous overflowing silos and new product to put in, so you have to get to move the old product somewhere else. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Jewish people, V'nasati mishkani b'seichachem. I will place my mishkan amongst you. V'lo sigal nafshi eschem. I will not drive you out or find you repulsive. Rashi says, what is the meaning of V'nasati mishkani b'seichachem? He says, this is Zeh Beis HaMikdash. This refers to the future Beis HaMikdash that will be built in, at this point, an undisclosed location. Moshe Rabbeinu did not tell the Jewish people where that holy city would be. It was only later, centuries later, that we were told through our prophets that this is Yerushalayim. Now, it's interesting that Rashi takes the approach that V'nasati Mishkani B'Seichachem, a futuristic event, so it refers to a Beis HaMikdash, it refers to Yerushalayim. Ibn Ezra also sees it as futuristic, but he sees it as a far-off future. He says, even in the time of Galus, Hashem's Shechina will always be amongst us. It's natural for Rashi to reject that approach, because according to the literal reading here, we speak about the time when we're in Eretz Yisrael and everything is great, not when we're in Galus. Another interesting approach to this is the Sepharno, who sees this in the very, very distant time, at least from when the Chumash was said, hopefully now it's very soon. He says this refers to the ultimate future Beis HaMikdash, at which time we will have the Shekhinah with us for posterity in an overt way. And he says this is different than the times of the Mishkan, when in the end the Mishkan would fall, and different than the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was destined to be destroyed. It was not going to last forever. But here God promises, V'nasati mishkani b'seichachem, I will place my mishkan, my presence, amongst you. V'yisi V'lo sigal nafshi eschem, Rashi says, I will not find you repulsive. Ein ruchi katze b'chem. I won't get bored of you. In other words, sometimes people have something and it's nice and they like it and say, okay, I'm bored of this. I need to move on to something else. God says, no, I will not get bored of you. Kol ge'ila, whenever we have the idea of ge'ila, we're talking about l'shen pleitas davar habalua bedavar. We're talking about something which is absorbed into something else, now being expelled. So, for example, when we cleanse vessels that have absorbed non-kosher food, it's called hagola. What's hagola? Hagola means taking out the absorbed non-kosher substance through extreme heat and sterilization. And Kemoyi says, for example, Gisham Nigal Mogen Gibedim. This is in the book of Shmuel, and he speaks about Shaul and his shields. So the natural shield, of course, is a heavy metal shield. The problem is you can't really get around the battlefield with a heavy metal shield because you're busy lugging this shield. So what do you want to have? You want to have something which is light metal. Light metal, but light metal can be punctured. So what they actually used to do is they would build these shields made of very, very light wood, and they would stretch animal skins over the light wood, and they would put an enormous amount of tallow, of animal fat, so that it would become so smooth so that an arrow that would be coming at great speed would still be deflected, bounce right off because it's so shiny, because it's so smooth. So in other words, the notion is that it would not be able to absorb anything. And that's how we know that the idea of sigal nafshi means that which is absorbed will later be, so to speak, spit out. Meishchin mogen shal or, you take this shield made of leather and you kind of make it slick. Bechela v'mavushal, with cooked fat. So that if there is an arrow that is intended for the person, it'll automatically be deflected. Or even chanis, even a spear. Because oftentimes when you deal with something very heavy like an arrow or a spear, but if it's coming at a certain angle and whatever it is very, very smooth, then it can easily deflect it rather than be punctured. So this is what they used to do in antiquity, in order to be able to create a situation of body armor, shala yikev ha'ir, so that the leather does not become punctured. Now God says, v'hi salachti b'seichachem, I will walk amongst you. V'ayisi lochem lelikim, I will be for you as a God. V'atem tiyu lilam, and you'll be for me as a nation. Rashi says, al salachti b'seichachem, I'll walk amongst you. What does this mean? Says Rashi, Atayli Mochem Began Eden. I will spend time with you, so to speak, in Gan Eden. You will feel a sense of extraordinary closeness. Ke echad mikem, as if you will feel my presence like you know a person. Like a person is with you and you know this person. That's how close you're going to feel to God. V'loi see you, mizdazim imeni. You will not be overwhelmed or frightened by my presence. There will be a certain comfortability that the Jewish people will feel with the overt presence of God. Yachal yesiru mimeni. Maybe this means there's no reverence for Hashem. Talmud leimer v'yisilchem l'leikim. God finishes by saying, I will walk amongst you. But at the same time, I will be it for you as a God. So there will be a sense of reverence, but a sense of reverence which is punctuated by a sense of deep closeness. Or the other way around, a sense of deep closeness punctuated by a sense of reverence. Verse 13, Ani Hashem l'leikim. I am the Lord your God. Asher Itzesi Eschem Eretz Mitzayim, who took you out of the land of Egypt. Mihiyos Lahem Avadim, from being slaves to them. Va'eshbar Moitois Ulcham, I will break the crossbows of your yokes. Va'olach Eschem Kamimios, I will walk you upright. What is this? Well, Rashi says, Ani Hashem Elikechem, I am the Lord God who took you out of Mitzrayim. So this is the pasuk in which we conclude all the beautiful stuff. After this pasuk, the rest goes south. In verse 14, it says, "Vim lois ishmoli, if you will not listen to me, v'loy sasu es kol mitzvah seila, oy vey, oy vey, big tzaras, im b'chukai saitimasu, if you find my mitzvahs disdainful, and you repel my commands to you, then we got a lot of tzaras coming our way." So let's not go there. But in the bottom line is, here's the final roundup verse. That's verse 13. And the point is this. Kedai ani, God says, it's worthy of me, shetaminu bi, sha'ani yachal la'ases kol leila. It's worthy of you to believe in me. Yes, I can do all these things I promised. I can deliver. And you have to know this. Sha'arei heitzeis yeschem eretz Mitzrayim. Did I not take you out of Egypt? Asisi lachem nisim gedalim. I made for you great wonders, miracles. So I'm capable. I prove my capability. You know I have the wherewithal and the ability. So therefore, trust me. Trust me, God says. You behave, I'll deliver. What are moitais? Moitais, Rashi says, is kemin yosed. It's like a bar. Bishnei Rashi ha'oil, on two sides of the yoke. Hama'akvim ha'moisera, which kind of keep the leash in place, or the bit in place. Shalitetzim ha'reisha ha'oil, so that it doesn't go out of the head of the yoke. Ve'yatir ha'kesher, and then the ox would loosen the knot. Kamoi, for example, and here's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Asei lecha moiseres u'moitais. So here we have God's command to the prophet Jeremiah to send to the nations of the world who are under the sway of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, to send each and every one of them a yoke and its ropes. And basically, it's the word of God in a very graphic way saying, accept his yoke. Submit yourself to Nebuchadnezzar. Don't try to rebel against him. Rashi gives us an old French word, which doesn't do anything for me. Cabellou. I don't know, something like that. Huh?
You don't know if you try it, Rabbi.
Yeah, I just tried it, but it doesn't do anything for me. The bottom line is, it's a yoke, and the yoke gets broken. So if we look in the Ibn Ezra, he describes the details of how a yoke looks. And he says this causes the cow to keep his head down. So you will not keep your head down, says Ibn Ezra, but rather, I will walk you upright, not head down, but instead head up, upright. Rashi says, "Koyme mios bekoyma zekufa." You'll walk erect, tall. Walking tall. When is this? So really and truly, this could be Rashi be understood at the time when the Jewish people are living in Eretz Yisrael and doing everything right. However, our sages also interpret this to the future, to the coming of Mashiach. And here we're going to come across some very interesting ideas that are connected to koimimios. Koimimios, uprightness. There's even a neighborhood in Yerushalayim called Koma Miyut. But doesn't, for some reason, it didn't catch that name. The old Arab name is still there. Talbiya. That's the area of the Mamila Mall. You know, the David Citadel Hotel. Those couple of blocks. That's a neighborhood called Talbiya. They try to rename it Koma Miyut. So Rechavia, the Jewish name, stuck very well. Some reason Koma Miyot didn't work. Maybe because Koma Miyot is a futuristic reality. But anyway, here on page Tof Yud Beis, I want you to open up and we have an excerpt from the Gemara in Masechet Bava Basra, page 75a. And then we have the commentary of the Bal HaTurim, which is based on the Gemara. It will be helpful to look inside everybody. Tof Yud Beis, Simen Yud Gimel, which is the 13th entry of Parshas Bechukaisi. Here's the quote from the Gemara. Rabbi Meir says about this idea of kom miyot, masayim ama. You know how tall we're going to be? 200 amas. You're laughing. That's very tall. An ama is 18 inches, approximately.
The Marishan.
Yeah, the Marishan. 200 amas. Shtei koymes shel Adam Marishan. Twice as tall as Adam Marishan. Adam Marishan was 100 amas, will be twice the height of Adam Marishan. Talk about the Avatar movie, man. We're going to be looking so unusual. These tall blue giants. Rabbi Yehuda Imer. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Mea Amma. Let's not go to 200 Amas. 100 Amas, that's all. Let's not get excessive here. 100 Amas, 180 feet tall. That's what the Gemara says. Now, I want to tell you something. This Gemara does not necessarily have to be literal. You know that. The pasuk has to be literal, unless you know it's Dibur HaKosav Havai, that sometimes the pasuk, the scripture, will use euphemism, will employ exaggerated terms. But this is a Gemara. So the Gemara might well be a metaphor. But nonetheless, Rabbi Yehuda says the metaphor of Kamehameh is 200 amot, and Rabbi Meir says it's 100, the other way around. Rabbi Meir says it's 200, Rabbi Yehuda says 100. We'll all get to play for the Raptors. That's a, it'll be a whole new game. Everybody will be 200 amos tall. Okay? Now take a look in the Balaturim.
All Jewish freaks instead of Greek freaks.
Yeah, right. The Balaturim says that the word koimimiyos, if you look in the Torah, so koimimiyot has beis tagim alakuf. There's an oral tradition, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, that when you write the kuf of koimimiyot, it should have two tagim, those two hairline projectiles with a little dot on top. Two. Why? He says, because shasidin liyas kemasa me'ama. Two tagim on the kuf, because we're emphasizing kuf. What does kuf stand for? 100. The numeric equivalent of kuf is 100. So we say, two tagim on the kuf, we're going to be 100 amas tall. Then the Balaturim himself says, but that's only the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Ulaman da Amr Masai Mama. What about Rabbi Meir who says 200 Amma? Ah, he says, Lakakesh based tagim. That's why you have two tagim, not one tag. One tag on a kuf would be 100 Amma. Two tagim is two times kuf. So we have 200 Ammas. So the Rebbe says, okay, so tell me. According to Rabbi Yehuda, which is the first opinion in the Baal HaTurim, second opinion in the Gemara, but the first opinion in the Baal HaTurim, Shekoyma sa'odam tiya mea amo bavad, that the height will be walking tall tomorrow. So tall. 100 amas tall, according to Yehuda. So, my mashmusan shal shnei tagim. So that what's the meaning of the two tagim? One tag, I understand. One tag is, emphasize this word. See it kuf? See it's 100? 100 amas tall. Raptors, here we come. Amazing. But if there's a business of two tagim, so according to Rabbi Meir, two tagim is two times kuf. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, why is it two tagim? Should be one tag. Rashi doesn't answer, doesn't explain that. So the Rebbe suggests something really radical. He says, V'yesh leimar, it's reasonable perhaps to suggest, Shagam Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is maskim adas Rabbi Meir. You think they're arguing? They're really on the same page. They both say, Amila kememios, roimezes, lekoima kfula. They say the word komimiyut doesn't say koma. It says komimiyut is indicative of a double height. What's a double height? 100 amas is Adam Marishan, a double height, twice the size of Adam. Lashadasa Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, habitu lekach bepoil. The actual 100 amot, 200 amas, will be in koima achas, in one gestalt of mea ama. The 200 will be contained in 100. According to Rabbi Meir, the 200 will be 200. What in heaven does that mean? Here we have a dispute in the Gemara. Rabbi Meir says 200. Rabbi Yehuda says 100. We have a problem with the Baal HaTurim. And the Rebbe says, looks like they argue. Really, they don't argue. Rabbi Yehuda said 100, he meant 200. But really 100, 100 and 200. What does that mean? Hezber advarim. Here's the explanation of these words. But this is al pi Teyrus Chassidus. Koima shal mea ama. The height, the gestalt of 100 ama. Misameles shleimusi haruchni shal adam. The Rebbe says this is not necessarily a question of being very tall and us having this strange growth spurt when Mashiach comes. But rather, it's a description of our spiritual stature. That the spiritual stature of a person is, after all, comprised of 10 soul faculties. That a nefesh ha'odam, the human soul, specifically a Yiddish neshama, is koileles eser koiches, has within it 10 powers. Shekol echad mehem kolol eser koiches mishaloi. Each of those 10 subdivides into 10. We see it with Sfirat HaOmer. So today, for example, is Tiferet of Yesod. And then on the sixth day of this week, we're going to get to Yesod of Yesod. And the seventh last day, we get to Malchut of Yesod. So we had Ches of Yesod and Gvur of Yesod. And today is Tiferet of Yesod. And we're going to have Netzach of Yesod and Hod of Yesod and Yesod of Yesod. What does it mean? It means that each of the midos can be experienced in a ray of the different other midos that are comprised within them. Now, we're not talking in the sphere of Ta'omer about the first three, which are the intellectual faculties, Chachma, Bina, and Das. And there's a reason for that, and that's beyond the purview of the next 10 minutes, or 3 minutes. That's a whole nother class. Point being that just as you understand on Sefirot HaOmer, the seven midot are comprised of seven, and seven times seven gives you 49, if you took look at the entire picture, the whole 10 midot, the 10 would be comprised of 10. Okay. 10 times 10? 100. So this means that a person is serving Hashem b'shleimus, in intact perfection. And what does it mean a person serves Hashem with intact perfection? It means that every single possible way of serving Hashem, every possibility of the human experience, is done with a holy and a sacred purpose, namely to serve God. So I have Chachma, that's good. I take my Chachma of Chachma and I serve God with that. I take my Bina of Chachma and I serve God with that. And so it is with the Das and the Chesed and the Nigvura and so on and so forth, all the way down to the Yesod and the Malchut of Chachma. And then my Bina. I serve God with all of my Bina. I dedicate all of my faculties of analysis and understanding to the service of Hashem in the various iterations that Bina might express itself. So I'm serving God in totality, in intact perfection. Okay. So now we understand why we need to be 100 amos tall. Why do we need to be 200 amos tall? What's up with that? This, incidentally, says the Rebbe, is the reason that Kaimasa Shal Adam Arishan, that Adam's height, which is Adam HaMushlam, the perfect person, was Adam. Adam was the person who had every single faculty, ability, and strength exactly in place. And therefore, how tall did he have to be? Me'a Amma, 100 Amma, he was perfect. Kifishaniv Rakadish Baruch Hu is created by the hand of God, created in perfection, no genetics to get in the way. 100 amma. 100 amma, meaning the full, perfect, a perfectly balanced personality. V'amila koyme miyos emezes lakach. Koyme miyos shel ha'asid lav ishlei mezu shel mea amma tia kfula. That when Mashiach will come, it'll be doubly so. What does it mean then? What does koyme miyos mean? That will be like the koyme of Adam Arishan, only doubly so, koyme miyot. What does it mean? Avaydes Hashem, the service of God, my dear friends, koileles shnei drachim klalis, can generally be speaking, has to include two very different arenas and dimensions. What are these two perspectives? And incidentally, we're going to learn about these two perspectives, not only as they exist independently, but even as they're sometimes mutually complementary. And the two general ways of serving Hashem are avodas hatzadikim, the right path, the path of justice and right, the path that's always good. You never deviate. Every I is dotted, every T is crossed, everything's exactly the way it should be. And then there's avodas hatshuva, because invariably none of us are perfect. And every single one of us has dropped the ball at some point or another. Ah, you dropped the ball, we have a problem. A little boy said, Mama, Mama, you know that vase that you said was given to us by Bubby, and she gave it to us from her father, and her father gave it to us from his mother, and her father gave it to us from mother, from her father, for four generations? Yes, yes, said the mother. Well, my little brother just dropped it. Right? Passed from generation to generation, the youngest generation dropped it. What's the challenge we have? To maintain what you get. What happens if the youngest generation drops the vase? What do you do then? Is it all lost? There's tshuva. You come home. So people have dropped it. The good news is Hashem is ever present, ever patient. When the youngest generation drops it, Rabbeinu Shlomo says, now come home. So there's avodas hatzadikim and there's avodas habalei tshuva. And both are necessary. And both are beautiful. And both are important. And this is the point. When Mashiach will come, we will reach the perfection on both levels. We'll reach perfection in the arena of tzaddikim, and we'll reach perfection in the arena of balei tshuva. You know what it says in the place where balei tshuva stand? Even perfect tzaddikim can stand. So there's a certain virtue of tshuva. When Mashiach comes, everything will be perfect. Do you know that it says that Mashiach's great accomplishment will be La'asava tzadikaya b'tiyufta, to bring tzadikim to tshuva? Now, how do you do that? If he's a tzaddik, why is he the tshuva? Ah, I'll leave that to Mashiach. Mashiach will find out the way to bring the tzaddik to tshuva also. So this is the meaning of a koima shlema. This is the meaning of a perfect gestalt, of 100 amas. 100 amas means 10 soul faculties by 10, all exactly as they should be. And here we enter the machlokes, the dispute of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. According to the opinion of Rabbi Meir, we will reach perfection, the shleimus and shnei sugi avayda, in both arenas of service to God. And therefore, how tall will we be, proverbially speaking? Messiah Mama, 200 Amma. Mea Amma, 100 Amma keneged avayda satzadikim. 100 Amma corresponding to the tzaddik path. Umea Amma, and 100 Amma keneged corresponding to avayda satshuva, to the pathway of the returning. Das Rabbi Yehuda Lumazay, Rabbi Yehuda, on the contrast, he says, Sheshnei Sugi HaAveda, these two different, very different kinds of Aveda, which is represented by Koima, by a gestalt, by a person utilizing every ounce of wherewithal that Hashem gives them. They're standing tall. They're walking, so to speak, erect. They have everything right. There's nothing fallen. So what will happen, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is that both of these gestalts, both of these arenas of perfection, yismazgu yachad, will coalesce and mesh as one to become koima achas. He'll be the perfect people. You'll be able to have a synergy of avodas hatzadikim and avodas hatshuva together at once. V'lochein kemasi ha-sefer, so what is the end height? Mea ama, says Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, now we understand what the Rebbe said. How do we understand the balaturim? So if the koima, the kuf, represents the 100, and we're going to be 100 amas tall, what's the two tagim? Says Rabbi Yehuda, I'll tell you what the two tagim is. The two tagim is the concept of perfection in Avodas HaTzadikim and Balei Tshuva together as one. But according to Reb Meir, it's actually two tagim, two separate gestalts, and therefore Reb Meir says 200 amma, and Rabbi Yehuda says 100 amma. And now it makes perfect sense. May Hashem bring us to Tshuva, and may we merit to walk so tall, Emer Tzah Hashem, in the tomorrow that comes very, very soon. Ben Heira, Ubi Ameinu, Amen.